This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. Thanks so much for listening, and thanks for thinking. Lots to think about today. The Freedom Act passed last night, supposedly reforming the Patriot Act, which critics say is to patriots what lightning is to lightning bugs. Is the Freedom Act to freedom what military music is to music? And is there more military music in this new act in the pursuit of national security, in fact? In a whirl of compromises and rhetorical hyperbole, the USA Freedom Act is the first substantial backstep change to the Patriot Act since President Bush first signed the surveillance law back in 2001. Or is it? Here's Democrat Ron Wyden of Oregon endorsing this compromise with, it seems, some hesitation.
I made the judgment that having been in this battle for close to a decade, it was important to show today that security and liberty are not mutually exclusive. You can have both, and that we would move on from here to fight another day.
Is this the end of the matter, or are there other fights to come, particularly those from congressional Republicans like Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, who seem to like the Patriot Act just as it once was? Congressman Gerald Nadler, Democrat of New York, is not one of those. The congressman joins us now. And does this end the matter of U.S. government collection of bulk data on American citizens, Congressman? Is the fishing expedition, as original Patriot Act no voter Senator Russ Feingold once said, is the fishing expedition over now, Congressman?
Well, the bill, which I'm a co-author, is a very good bill. It's a very good start, but it's only a start. Senator Wyden is entirely correct. It does end most of the bulk collection of data. It does do that. It makes a number of very substantial and very positive changes, but it leaves a number of other things undone that we should take up.
What do you want to take up that's undone?
Well, for example, Section 702 of the FISA Act, not the Patriot Act, this section deals with minimizing blowback. When we spy on the electronic communications of foreigners in a foreign country, they don't have any constitutional rights. They're not subject to the American Constitution, so we spy on them. Other people spy on us and so forth. But if someone abroad communicates with an American, and we pick up that conversation, or we pick up that information, and then we decide that, we ought to really look at that guy because he's in league with the terrorists or something, without a court order, you could have a backdoor spying on Americans. We really have to rein that in to make sure that that doesn't happen. And we have such an amendment, which we will be offering to the military appropriations bill in about 2 weeks.
What do you make of the FISA system with Mr. Clapper lying to Congress about whether bulk data was even collected or not? He was disingenuous at best with
he
Congress.
He was worse
over
than disingenuous. He committed perjury, and he should be prosecuted.
Indeed.
For it.
So how do we trust that the FISA system works at all, and what would you do about it?
Well, because we've opened it up. We've made two major changes to the FISA court. Number one, we've provided for a corps of amici of security-cleared people who'll be in court, who will be privy to everything that happens in the court, whose sole function is to argue against the government when it makes a legal argument. So the court will hear for the first time from both sides. For the last 15 years, it's only heard from the government. Secondly, we provide that any novel or significant opinion must be made public within a few days. Had these two provisions been in effect back in 2006, when the government said to the FISA court that Section 215 of the Patriot Act authorized bulk collection of data without a court warrant, the amici would have argued against it, and the court might have decided differently. And had the court decided as it did, we would have known about it in a few days instead of having to wait until Mr. Snowden's revelations 7 years later, and Congress presumably could have reacted, the American people, or maybe even an appeals court could have reacted then. I mean, that bulk collection of data was a gross misinterpretation. It was way beyond what, in fact, Section 215 permitted, but they could get away with it because they persuaded the FISA court that was legal under Section 215, and it was secret, so no one could oppose it. Both of those will no longer be true.
In your view, does this satisfy the conditions of, or the apparent conditions of the Second Circuit in saying that bulk collection is unconstitutional?
Oh, yes. Yes, it does. Well, first of all, the Second Circuit did not say it was unconstitutional. The Second Circuit said it was beyond what was authorized by Section 215 of the Patriot Act. They never reached the constitutionality question. I would say it was unconstitutional, but I'm not the Second Circuit. But, yes, this does. It will end that bulk surveillance because what Section 215 says is that you can seize tangible things that are relevant to a counterterrorism investigation or foreign intelligence investigation. Some of us opposed it at the time because we thought relevant was much too loose a standard. The government went in and persuaded the FISA court that, now what we thought that meant at the minimum was that you had to show that looking at John Doe's phone metadata is relevant for some reason. You had to show some articularized suspicion of John Doe or of the phone at 238 West 31st or 4th Street. What the government convinced the FISA court was that since any phone conversation or phone metadata that you wanted to look at was within the universe of all phones, then to find the needle in the haystack, you got to look at the haystack. So they got one warrant for 6 months to look at all phone metadata from Verizon. And then they'd do that every 6 months. And then if they wanted to look at John Doe's information in particular, well, a CIA analyst could decide that, or an NSA analyst, because they already had the warrant. They didn't need a separate warrant. Under the bill that we just passed, you couldn't get a warrant at all unless you had a particularized suspicion about an individual or small group of people, and you defined that by a specific selected term. In other words, somebody's name or a small group of people or perhaps a location. And it couldn't be, we tightly defined it, so it can't be all phone calls in 1023 zip code. And you'd have to show a particularized suspicion and reason to look at those particular things. The court could grant that, but that would be a particular warrant, which is in the American tradition, not a generalized warrant, not general surveillance.
All right, here's Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, who in a pretty unusual set of procedural moves lost in the Senate. He's the majority leader of. He's not happy about this at all. Listen to what he said.
As the Associated Press declared today, the end of Section 215 program is a, quote, this is the headline in the AP today, a resounding victory for Edward Snowden. A resounding victory for Edward Snowden. It is also a resounding victory for those who currently plot it against our homeland.
Now, I suspect you wouldn't agree that this is a resounding victory for those who currently plotted against our homeland, but
no.
Is this a victory for Edward Snowden, who, but for him,
yes,
we wouldn't know about all this?
Yes, I think it is a victory for Edward Snowden. He revealed illegal, I would say unconstitutional, actions by the government, which had been secret for years. Because of his revelation, people found out about this, and Congress reacted to it, and we changed the law to make clear that they couldn't do what they were doing, which I would say was way beyond what the law allowed them to do in the first place. Now, Mr. Snowden was accused of giving a lot of other information to the Russians or the Chinese, et cetera. I don't know whether that's true or not. If it is not true, then what he did was what he did in any event was a public service. If he gave a lot of damaging information to the Russians or anybody else, then that's bad, obviously. But if he didn't, he has committed a net public service.
Would you pardon him?
If the facts are that all he's revealed are what we know about, yes.
All right. Snowden would probably say in response to this Freedom Act, which, as you've said, and let's be fair, and let's also disclose that you are my congressman in Brooklyn, New York. He would say it really matters little if the bulk data isn't collected by the NSA, but is still held by the phone companies. It's simply a toggle switch, which means that
But that's not the key part of the bill. I would agree with that.
So
key part of the bill is not who holds the information. It's that you can't get the information unless you have a particularized warrant with particularized suspicion.
Do you care as an American citizen and as someone in Congress whether the phone companies hold on to this data and collect it and keep it in servers, whatever their reason for doing it is?
Well, first of all, they automatically collect it just as a function of the way they function. How long they keep it is a different question. I'd certainly rather they had it than the government had it, because they're going to use it for commercial purposes. The government is going to use it for whatever, some of which may implicate civil liberties. But I don't. We didn't mandate that they keep it for any great length of time. They do normally. They collect it in the normal course of business. And the key is we've put sharp limits on the use of this for investigations of any type.
And it's fine, as far as you're concerned, that this data is collected, that it doesn't have privacy implications, even though you in Congress could.
Well, I think we have to look into first of all, the data is collected automatically of necessity by the operation of a phone system.
I don't believe that's the case. I don't believe it's of necessity.
Well, I don't know. I've always assumed that was the case. But we don't – well, we ought to look into – it's not a bad idea to look into – retention policies. The phone company, other companies, internet companies hold all kinds of data about you. How long they keep that, what they use it for. I think that's that could involve serious privacy implications, and we got to look into that.
But you're happy with the results last night, at least as a first step.
I'm happy with the results last night. It was a great step forward. It doesn't end our battle. We have other steps to take.
Democratic Congressman Gerald Nadler of New York, thank you so much.
You're quite welcome.
The Patriot Act does not protect. It absolutely infringes on civil liberty. The idea that government or authority protects us is absurd. They are nothing but crime reporters piecing together information after the fact. What the security agencies claim to be stop plots are trumped-up conspiracy charges against disaffected, marginalized people. The bifurcation of our economy will lead to discontent on many levels. Treating these symptoms with military measures is foolish and possibly malicious. Mark in Dallas.
This is Sean from San Antonio. Yes, the American Patriot Act keeps Americans safe. With the adapting nature of terrorists, it's necessary to take certain measures to protect Americans. However, it does infringe on civil liberties. But if we completely remove these counterterrorism measures and the next terrorist attack occurs, who are we to blame? The terrorists? Or ourselves for letting the attack happen.
It is clear from this discussion that the Patriot Act itself may symbolize a change in Americans' overall understanding of what freedom means right now.
Hi, it's Cindy from New Jersey. The Patriot Act does both, but privacy does you no good if you're in danger of being blown up. Compared to other parts of the world, I think they're doing a good job keeping us safe. Now, if they can just get the airport screeners in line, I'll feel a lot better.
Hey, my name is Duke DeRocher, and I'm from Battleground, Washington. Don't get me wrong, I don't have a don't tread on me flag hanging at my house, but I think the Patriot Act is more like martial law without the curfew.
Hi, my name is Michelle Grotstein. I'm calling from Honolulu. If I'm not plotting treason against our country, I have no problem with the Patriot Act. What has irritated me more over the last 6+ years is that everything that our president has supported, the Republicans try to override. Did they forget which president enacted the Patriot Act to begin with? Aloha from Hawaii.
Hawaii, where President Obama may wish he was right now, although his signature is on this reform measure called the Freedom Act. Tweet back to us on this or any subject. We're at The Takeaway, or just follow me at Jay Hockenberry.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.